Welcome to the Restaurant Boss Podcast, where you can make more money, have more freedom, and actually start to enjoy owning your restaurant. If you're feeling overwhelmed, stressed, and just sick of the struggle, you've come to the right place. So here is your host, the Restaurant Boss himself, Ryan Gronfin.
My name is Ryan Gronfin. I'm an author, speaker, chef, restaurateur, and the founder of therestaurantboss.com, scalemyrestaurant.com, and clickbacon.com. And we've never done this before. We've done a state of the restaurant industry for like 6 years in a row. We've never had as cool of a logo as this. And I usually don't get as dressed up as I am today. But this year was a special year. So back in January, when we did the state of the restaurant industry address, I put on my best tuxedo. We created this awesome logo because this has quickly become the most popular video that we do all year long. It's sort of a past, what's been happening, where are we at now, and what do we see as the future? And we've done a pretty good job of predicting the future. We're not reading any crystal balls or anything special. We just talk to so many restaurateurs across so many different demographics and types of restaurants and regions that, you know, by the time the end of a year, I've talked to 200 or 300 restaurateurs in 100 different types of restaurants in 100 different cities. So we have a pretty good pulse of what's happening. It allows us to bring a unique perspective. But we have never done a mid-year update. And this year, we're doing a mid-year update because, let me get, if my mouse would start working here. Oh, the state of the restaurant industry 2021, it should now say emergency update because there's a lot going on. And we are in a very different place now than when we did this 6 months ago. So I want to say hello to the last couple of people. Hey, Suzanne, and hey, Kristen. But I'm going to focus on the presentation here. So I have Dawn on the call. Dawn is our business manager here. She's awesome. She can help out with anything that you need. So keep the chat coming. Definitely keep chatting. I'll be popping over once in a while to take a look at them. But if you have a question, go ahead and there's somehow you can click on question and that will put it in a different place. So Dawn's going to be monitoring the chat and monitoring the questions. But the problem is, I hope this chat gets going. If I say something you agree with, say, I agree. Yes. Yes. We need to do better. We can change that. Or say, no, you're wrong. Or say, I don't agree with you. But let's pretend we're having a conversation here. We are having a conversation. So keep that chat box going. The problem is, if you have a question, you're going to want to tag that as a question in case Dawn misses it. Because when that chat gets going, the questions could slip down behind. But anyways, I'm going to try to stay here as much as I can with you. My name is Ryan Gronfin. Let's get started with the emergency upgrade. So quickly, some 2020 statistics. 2020 was expected to be the highest grossing year ever for restaurants in the United States. $899 billion was the projected sales. January and February were on track for exceeding this prediction. 2020 was actually $618 billion, down 32% from predicted. Now, before we keep going, some of you, I understand you're operating your restaurant, you're busy. You can't be focusing 100% on this right now. I get that. Others of you can be focusing on this. And if you can be focusing on this, close your door, stop Twittering, stop Facebooking, stop TikToking, stop whatever it is that you're doing. Nothing is going to be more important than this for the next 30 to 45 minutes. I can make you that promise. Give yourself the gift of paying attention here. What we get out of a training like this is what we put into it. If you put 10% in, you're going to get 10% out. You're going to say it was a waste of your time. If you put 100% in, you're going to get 100% out. And this would have been some of the best time you've ever spent for your business. I want to make that promise to you. I'm here 100% with you. If you can be here, be here. If you can't, I understand. Do the best you can, but then make yourself the time to rewatch it. So with that out of the way, let's keep going here. So what was the state? Well, like I said, in January, this was the general consensus. The issue is not the industry itself. It was COVID. Certain sectors are healthy, even with COVID. Certain sectors are healthy, but disrupted by COVID. Certain sectors were just not healthy. That was then, this is now. 68% of customers say they are more likely to purchase takeout or delivery than they were before the pandemic. 25% of consumers say that app ordering will influence their dining decisions. 64% of diners choosing full service prefer traditional table service versus tablet or smartphone ordering. Just some fun stats that I found. Here's the crazy part. 2 million less 16 to 34-year-old workers in the workforce, right? How many of you are experiencing that? Oh, look at my little camera that's blocking. Let's put you, can I put me in the bottom corner? How's that? That might be better. And I'm going to make me a little smaller. Oh, yeah, let's do that. Let's try that. That seems a little better. Okay. So some new stats, 68 to 74% of the operators from all segments say they plan to keep some or all of the changes implemented during COVID, specifically stating trimmed down menus. I have been talking about trimming down menus ad nauseum for like 10 years. Y'all, your menus are too big. Now, not every single one of you, but generally, I'm going to pull my Texas out of here. Y'all, menus are too big. Trim them down. Trim dining rooms. A lot of my clients are not reopening their dining rooms. What do we say? 68 to 74% of operators say they plan to keep some or change, some or all the changes. I've got a bunch of clients right now that were kind of quick service, kind of delivery focused. Their delivery business boomed during COVID. They're not reopening their dining rooms. There's a lot of restaurants being opened right now that don't even have dining rooms. Guys, today's going to be all about thinking a little differently. Increased focus on off-premise. I said it in January, and I've been saying it for a couple of years. Off-premise can no longer be an afterthought. I don't care if you're a fine dining steakhouse. I don't care if you're fast food. Chick-fil-A has not reopened their dining rooms. McDonald's has not reopened their dining rooms. Now, McDonald's lets you into their dining room, but they're not open for seating, at least not that I've seen in the last couple of weeks. Off-premise is here to stay, and it's changing the industry in a major way. If off-premise dining is still an afterthought for you, you need to start looking at changing that. Complete at-home meal kits. We're seeing that happening more often, and cocktails to go. Just curious, I don't want to put a poll out, but in the chat, how many of you are in an area where you are still allowed to send or to deliver cocktails, drinks, beers, and that's probably going to be permanent? It's either already been voted in or it's up for vote. I know some states have already enacted this and some haven't yet. It was kind of done as an emergency measure, but I'd be curious. So let's keep going here. I want to get through this quick because I got some fun stuff to talk to you about later. The restaurants that survive, The restaurants that survived are recovering nicely. Many restaurants are having their best years ever, but food shortages, supply chain issues, and massive labor shortages are causing some problems here, right? As we know, generally speaking, we're experiencing inflation, higher costs of goods sold and higher labor costs, and a massive labor shortage, which again, we're going to continue to talk about here. But folks, we're experiencing inflation. It's not abnormal to have inflation. We've just been operating for like 9 years with almost no inflation at all. When people used to say to me 4 or 5 years ago, my costs are going up, my costs are going up. Yeah, but not really, like not like they are now. We're experiencing inflation and it's going to make things a little harder. We're going to deal with it. I'm going to talk you through this in a few minutes, I promise. The good news is sales are not the problem. Now, I get emails once in a while from people who are struggling with sales, but the mass majority, the vast majority of the phone calls, emails, conversations that I'm having from people are that sales are not the challenge right now. Again, I'd be curious, type it in. Who out here is experiencing a sales problem? Is it strictly COVID related? Meaning like as soon as COVID measures open up in your area or change in your area if they haven't already, or maybe like some people in LA, they've reverted back. But when COVID is behind us, are you still going to have a sales issue? Some of you are doing better with COVID, but exactly like labor with the massive influx of stimulus, inflation was inevitable. Of course, inflation was inevitable. This is all good points that you're making, and we're going to address it all here. All bubbles must burst. We had a good run since the 2010 recovery. The economy and our industry grew for 10 years. Basically, from about 2010, it can be argued that maybe 2011 was the start of the recovery. But for 9 to 10 years, we grew at a massive pace. Now, again, there's exceptions to every rule. But pretty much anyone that I've talked to in the last 8 or 9 years, you basically just had to have a restaurant open to be doing well. We had a good run of things. Here's the interesting part, though. We experienced massive technology improvements and advances in nearly all industries. 10 years ago, this thing barely existed. I know that's hard to believe. This thing, this iPhone, came out in late 2008. I don't even think I got an iPhone until like 2011. I had some crappy not really that smart phone. But like, think about how iPads and phones and tablets and laptops that are this thick and everything has changed the industry. Think about the software growth, the way you order, Amazon, all this stuff, but not much has changed in restaurants. Most restaurants are basically the same restaurant as they were 10, 20, 30, even 50 years ago. Your local pizza delivery chain hasn't changed that much in 20 or 30 years. A lot of the restaurants we go to are still pretty much doing things the same. Maybe the menus have changed a little bit. Maybe the decor's changed a little bit. But the industry as a whole has not changed that much. So what can we do now? Well, you can raise prices. You can keep doing things the same. Raise prices and keep doing things the same. Just remember that every time you raise prices, you introduce competition. I'm not telling you that you shouldn't raise prices. I'm just telling you that every time you raise prices, you introduce competition. In-N-Out. If you've never eaten In-N-Out, you've probably heard of In-N-Out. If you've eaten at an In-N-Out, type in here. I've eaten at an In-N-Out. Love In-N-Out. Hate In-N-Out. Whatever. Just type it in so I know. But In-N-Out is not the best burger in the world. People tell me, oh my God, In-N-Out is so good. Oh my God. It's not that good. I ate at In-N-Out a lot in California. I eat at In-N-Out a lot here in Texas. It's good. It's not that good. It's the best burger in the world for $3.50. If In-N-Out was a $7 burger, I would never eat there. But at $3.50, it's a great burger. It's a great burger. Chick-fil-A is not the best chicken sandwich I've ever had in my life. And it's not the best service I've ever had in my life. It's the best chicken sandwich and the best service I have ever had, hands down, anywhere for $3.50. My whole family eats a Chick-fil-A for $26, $27. That's with three drinks, three fries, three sandwiches, a salad, like macaroni and cheese. At that price point, it's amazing. At a higher price point, it's good, but it's not amazing. So every time we raise prices, we introduce competition because we raise the expectations of our guests. I'm not telling you to not increase prices. I'm telling you to be very careful about increasing prices. We can raise our prices and keep doing things the same and give your guests a reason to try alternatives. But you're likely going to have to do this anyways. You can pay more for staff and keep doing the same. Most employees don't leave for better wages. Most employees don't leave for better wages. Certain people don't want to do certain jobs regardless of the pay. I have clients with servers making $300 to $350 a shift, sometimes $400 a shift after tip out. They're so busy that they ask some of their servers to work double sometimes. They're making $600 to $800, let's call it $700 a day as a server. And some of them quit because it's not only about money. We're going to talk about money. Money's going to be important, but it's not only about money. There's just people who don't want to do certain jobs anymore. But again, you're likely going to have to raise your wages. You can start looking at some fundamental changes to your restaurant, which is what the purpose of today's call is going to be. Here's what we know for sure. You can't operate or grow your restaurant without a great team. That's a fact. You can't do it. This is not a business that you can do alone. You are going to need a great team. We've taken advantage of restaurant labor for too long. Guys, call me wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm not wrong. I don't care. I can take it. But I was taken advantage of when I was an employee in the restaurant industry. Now, I had my goals set for a long-term growth, so I was okay with it. But even when I operated restaurants, I wasn't as good to my team as I should have been. And that's part of my mission right now. We're going to talk about that in a second here. But the reality is we've just taken advantage of restaurant labor for too long, not necessarily in pay, but sometimes in the way we've treated people. We haven't done as good of a job training them for the job as we should. We haven't given them as many tools to succeed as we should. We haven't trained, led, and coached TLC as well as we should. We haven't given them schedules with enough notice so they could actually have lives. We haven't allowed for them to take some time off when they need to. And I know all of this is hard, but we're going to have to make some changes here. There's a mass exodus of people wanting to work in the restaurant industry. COVID gave them a reason to leave and they left. and they're not coming back. A lot of people who worked in restaurants that got shut down had to find new work. They found that new work in the construction industry. They found that new work in driving for Uber or DoorDash and working for an Amazon warehouse or fulfillment center or delivering packages or whatever it is that they went to. I have some friends who started selling pools. I have some friends who started selling alarm systems. Some friends who started selling supplies to the construction industry. Some people went into construction. People did a whole bunch of things, but the reality is they don't want to come back to the restaurant industry. The restaurant industry has a generally bad reputation. Come on, how many of you parents out there, when your kids say they want to work in the restaurant industry or they want to be a chef or they want to own a restaurant one day, what do you say? No, you don't. No, you don't. What kind of example are we setting for our kids? This issue is not 100% our fault. I might be making it sound like that. It's not. The labor force is not as motivated as they were in the good old days, right? In the good old days. I get that. But do you think it's going to change? I talk to people about this all the time. They're like, Brian, you don't understand, but my staff is this, my staff is that, my staff is that. I'm like, I know, I get that. But do you think it's going to get better? Do you think the staff that we're challenged with right now, that we're complaining about right now, is going to wake up in a year from now and just be like, that's it. I'm ready to grind it out. I'm ready to work for low wages. I'm ready to work for a company that doesn't train me. I'm ready to work for a company that gives me my schedule 2 days before the week starts, and I'm going to grind it out. It's not going to change. The labor force is not going to get better. If you believe the labor force is poor right now, it's not going to get better. If you believe the labor force is great right now, then that's all perspective, because it's what you want it to be. Chick-fil-A isn't that, or they're struggling, but they're not struggling like everyone else to find staff. A lot of my clients are not struggling at all to find staff. So it's what we make of it, but it's not going to get better. So I kind of put this together in my like mapping software. To operate and grow, you need a team of people. People don't want to work in restaurants. So you have two choices here. You can struggle to operate and not grow, meaning you can be stressed and struggle and overwhelmed and just not grow, or you can do something different. Here's what I know to be true. Blockbuster Video didn't change. Remember going to Blockbuster Video? Remember getting a girlfriend or your boyfriend or some friends together, hopping in the car and going to a Blockbuster Video and renting videos? I remember I used to ride my bike or my scooter or my rollerblades with my neighbor, and we would go to Blockbuster, the local video rental store. We'd rent two or three videos. We'd watch them at home, and then don't forget to rewind them because they charge you for it. Don't be a day late because they charge you for it. And then Netflix came along. Keep the video as long as you want. Don't worry about it. We got the largest selection of videos in the world. We'll deliver them to your house. Blockbuster said, that's never going to work. When was the last time you went to a Blockbuster? Or how about those taxis? Remember, you could hop into a taxi and go to a Blockbuster, but now there's no taxis anymore and there's no Blockbusters anymore. There's just Ubers. What about car rental companies? I'm never going to rent a car again. I don't know about you guys. The last car rental I had was the worst experience I've ever had in my life with almost any business. And I decided to rent a car because it was easier for the trip. I'm never going to rent a car again. The industry hasn't changed. It's antiquated. They're passing their expenses on to me. It's not my problem. They can't operate their business. They're losing market share to new technologies. They're not adapting, and they're passing that expense on to me. I'm not going to pay it. I'm just going to go with one of these new services like an Airbnb, but for car rentals. We're all just take an Uber to some guy's house or to a parking lot. I'll get my car. I'll drive it for 4 or 5 days, and then I'll return it back and Uber back to the airport for half the price, better car, twice the convenience. I won't do it anymore. Hotels haven't really changed, and a lot of us are going to Airbnbs. Well, hotels kind of have changed. They've started giving you free breakfast. They started giving you free Wi-Fi. More and more of the hotels are becoming stripped down versions. They're not full resorts. They're not big business hotels. They're just a bed and a free breakfast. So hotels are starting to change. That's because competition came into the marketplace. Music companies haven't really changed. Well, I guess they have a little bit, but the old school ones haven't, right? But as Amazon Music and Spotify and all of these things, the music companies are being forced to change. They don't want to, but they're being forced to change. They have to adapt their business models. Network television hasn't really changed. I mean, they're trying, but when was the last time you watched a show on NBC or ABC? I don't watch shows on NBC or ABC. I watch my shows on Netflix and Amazon. Better quality television, better shows. If we don't change, we're going to be like a Blockbuster. We generally do a decent job changing when our guests demand change. When our guests demand change, we usually respond to that. But right now, yeah, it's your guests a little bit, but it's not your guests that are demanding change. It's not your guests. It's your team. They have choices now. They have options. They have other places to work. It's not that you're not running a creative enough ad, and it's not that your ad is being placed on this platform or that platform. The reality is people are just leaving the industry. It's our way of doing business that needs to change from what we serve to how we serve it and how we treat those that make it happen on our team, how we train, how we develop, the tools and resources we give our team, the example we set of success instead of that of stress, struggle, and overwhelm. Would you work for you? Would you work for you? Maybe, maybe not. Answer that question. You don't have to answer it out loud, but ask yourself, would you work for you? Do you know what your team members' goals are? Could you list them out for me right now? If I got a roster of your team right now, do you know what their goals are? And if they tell you they don't have goals, are you digging deeper? Are you finding out? Because I've never met someone that doesn't want more. I've never met someone that doesn't have goals. I've met plenty of people that are afraid to say them. I've met plenty of people that are afraid to express them. I've met plenty of people that have never been asked the question, have never had the conversation. But when you dig deeper, you always find a desire, a fire burning for more. Do you work with them to help them achieve their goals, not your goals? See, my goals are achieved when your goals are achieved. See, your goals are achieved when your team's goals are achieved. It's not the other way around. Do you coach them or just ask them to do certain things? If we just tell a team member, a host to be more friendly, a cashier to answer the phone more friendly, a cook to make the food look nicer, or a chef to come up with a new menu because it's not creative enough, or a chef to lower our food costs, or a chef to do inventory for us, or do we show them how to do it? You can ask me all day long to design you a rocket ship that will successfully bring you into space and back, but I can't do that. So it doesn't matter how much you pay me or how much you ask me to do that, I don't have that skill. How many times are we asking our team members to do things and they say they know how to do it, but they don't, and we're not showing them, and then we're disappointed? Do you lead them or try to micromanage them? I want to read you a quote from Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by their character. I have a dream. I have a dream. I have a dream. Read this speech. If you have never read the Martin Luther King speech, read it or watch it on YouTube. It is one of the best speeches ever written. It is powerful. It is moving. It is poignant. It is more relevant now than ever. But what's relevant about the speech is that a group of people who couldn't even see a future without segregation were led to march by the millions to make a change. Most of the people couldn't see the path. They could never believe that there was a path without segregation. I live in Texas. I eat at restaurants that are historical, and I respect that they're historical. I don't respect the decisions that they made back in the day, but there are still signs that hang from the old days. They don't actually honor them, and I would never eat there if they did, but that had separate entrances, segregated entrances and segregated water fountains. That's insane for us to think about that today. But for some people, even then, it was insane for them to think about it until someone said, I have a dream. I have a dream for you. That's what led people to follow. So the question I have is, if you have a team member who has a dream, but you don't know what it is, help them find it. Help them achieve it, and they will help you achieve your goals. Treat your team and your vendors as well as you would treat a guest. I have been saying this forever. Treat your team and your vendors as well as you would treat a guest. I am shocked at how sometimes, again, not all of you, I get that. But I'm shocked at how some people treat their vendors, how they yell at their plumber and yell at their AC guy. You know, those people live in your community and they tell others about your restaurant. You know your team members live in your community and tell others about your restaurant. Now, again, I'm being general here. I get it. Some of you are awesome at this, and I want to hear from you. But the industry has to change. And if we don't change it, it's going to have a bad name for everybody. Many of us have totally failed at scheduling, managing, developing, pay, benefits, training. And because of this, employees want more now than ever. Why? Because they have options. Because they have options. I'm going to take a sip of water here. And we're going to finish up. We're going to wrap up here, and then I'm going to make some big announcements here. Easy is not the path. If it was easy, we would all have a solution. Before you read ahead, I didn't bullet point all this out one at a time. But if it was easy, we would all have the solution. Think about that for a second. But if we all had the solution, it would be hard again. Someone said earlier, challenges are opportunities. Challenges are opportunities. Right now is the best opportunity you may have in the next 10 or 20 years. You can get ahead of the changes that are coming. If it was easy, we'd all do it. And if we all did it, it would be hard again. If every restaurant treated their team the way a couple of restaurants I'm going to share with you treated their team, we wouldn't have a labor problem. We'd have a competition problem. And then we'd have another problem and another problem and another problem. So embrace the fact that it's hard now because you have the opportunity to get ahead of it. If it was easy, we'd all have the solution. If we all had the solution, it would be hard again. Embrace the fact that solving these problems are hard. Do something different. Be different. Treat people different. Get something different in return. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Yeah, your costs are going up. Yeah, you'll have to pay more in labor. Yeah, you'll have to get better at managing your systems and developing your people. If you've never heard me say that, write that down. Manage systems, develop people. Manage systems, develop people. Yeah, you'll have to look at every aspect of your business and figure out how to change so you can raise prices without losing guests. Let's read that one more time. Yeah, you'll have to look at every aspect of your business and figure out how to change so you can raise prices without losing your guests. And I'm not just talking about raising prices to keep pace with your competition. I'm talking about raising prices above your competition or offering something above your competition for the same price. That's kind of the same thing. But that separates you from the pack. That makes you unique and different. It makes you distinct. Because if you're serving the same pizza made with the same ingredients, served the same way, ordered the same way as all of your competition, you only have one thing to compete with, and that's price. That's a commodity. That's gasoline. That's a potato. You don't care where your potatoes are grown or what brand of potatoes are. If you want an Idaho potato, you order Idaho potatoes. You don't order a specific farm of Idaho potatoes. You just order a 50-count box of Idaho potatoes. And if one day it shows up from farm A and one day it shows up from farm B, do you really care? When you fill up your car with gasoline, the number one factor is price, then convenience. You don't really care about the brand. Don't be the commodity of a restaurant business. Or you can not change and just keep complaining and hoping it'll get better. But remember, hope is a strategy, just not a very good one. So here's the thing. Here's what we've learned. Existing segments, shrinkage in full service and fine dining. There was a gentleman on earlier who said he's thinking about opening up a steakhouse or an American bistro or something like that. I hope you're paying attention here. I hope you're still here. I don't remember who that was, but shrinkage is happening in full service and fine dining. QSR has been sustainable. It grew for 10 years, almost, I think 9 or 10 years. QSR, quick service restaurants were growing. It's now sustainable. We are seeing massive growth in fast food and delivery. Massive growth. But there's also some new segments popping up, which is super cool. We're changing the industry. Finally, what I'm calling FQSR or family quick service restaurants. These are restaurants that were traditionally a sit-down family restaurant, like a casual dining, like maybe an Italian restaurant that would be like 15 to 18 bucks for an entree, maybe 14 to 18 bucks for an entree, chicken parm, pizza, spaghetti and bolognese, things like that. And they're big restaurants that serve wine and serve beer, but instead of sitting down and having a server come to your table, instead of like an Olive Garden, you order at the counter and then they bring you your food. Trust me, this is working. I'm seeing it. I have clients doing it, and there's restaurants that I eat at, and it's crushing it. because they're able to give me the quality of food I want, a great bottle of wine, and they're taking services away so they can keep prices down. I'm getting what I want, and in many ways, it's better. I have a young son. A lot of times when we go out to dinner, we meet another family who has one or two kids. Well, when we go to an Olive Garden, we have to wait for a table or whatever, something like that. At Chili's, we have to wait for a table. Server comes over, kids are hungry, we get the kids' food in, then they're really busy and our food takes a long time, but then the kids are bored, and then the check comes and it's awkward because I don't really drink that much. They ordered a couple of cocktails and a bottle of wine. My wife only ordered a glass of wine. They have two kids, I have one kid. Now how do we split the check? When we meet friends at a restaurant called Mandola's, which is our favorite Italian restaurant, great food, order at the counter, sit down, we pay for ourselves and then they bring us the food. It's amazing. So maybe if you're in a fine dining or a full service restaurant, you want to start thinking about switching this over. Entertainment dining. This is what I mean by axe throwing dining, bocce ball dining, movie theater dining. This is growing big. And then ghost, virtual, dark cloud kitchens. This is also huge. But what's happening is the industry is changing to adapt to the circumstances. Just raising prices, it's not going to do it. Yeah, you're going to have to probably raise prices, but you're also going to have to change. To kind of wrap up here, I introduced this in January and I want to reintroduce it here. I call this the bow tie restaurant curve. 83% of fine dining operators expect lower sales in 2021. 83% of fine dining operators expect lower sales in 2021 and beyond. That industry is shrinking at a massive rate. 17% of QSR operators expect lower sales in 2021 and beyond. So only 17% of quick service expect lower sales and 83% of fine dining or full service dining operators expect lower sales. See, what's happening is the middle is getting squeezed. Ultra fine dining, I don't have a stat on it, but clients and friends that are in ultra fine dining, like really expensive, only a couple per city, downtown, very high end, very chef driven. Those are doing fine because the wealthy are getting wealthier. So that's fine. It's the middle that's getting squeezed. It's the Chili's. It's the Applebee's. It's the Olive Gardens or the similar concepts to those, whatever they are. I just use those because they're familiar. But In-N-Out, busier than ever. Chick-fil-A, busier than ever. McDonald's, busier than ever. Most quick service, you know, Wingstop, busier than ever. Doghouse, busier than ever. Most pizza delivery restaurants, busier than ever. Family sit down, shrinking. Ultra fine dining, growing. We're going to the extremes here. We're going to utility restaurants and experience restaurants. Utility restaurants, just give me the food. Maybe it's not as basic as fast food. Maybe it's not a McDonald's. Maybe it's one step up like a Mandola's. Look up Mandola's in Austin, Texas, if you're curious about what they're doing. They're crushing it. Their food's awesome. Their service is friendly, but at a very low level. You just order at the counter, you grab a bottle of wine or a glass of wine at the counter, you sit down, they bring you your food. But the food is great. The prices are great. It's a utility restaurant. I go for food. My family goes for food or experiences. Fine dining, ultra fine dining, that's an experience. Axe throwing, that's an experience. A movie theater restaurant, that's an experience. Bocce ball, that's an experience. The middle is getting squeezed. If you're struggling to find help, or you can find help, but you're struggling to pay more, or you're paying more, but disappointed in the work you're receiving in return, or are contemplating raising prices to cover your increases in labor, and you're contemplating raising prices to cover your increases in cost of goods sold, like somebody said earlier, if you're struggling with sales right now, and it's unrelated to COVID, what are you going to change? One of the brightest marketers, I think, today is a guy named Ryan Dice. And Don, you didn't know I threw this in here. I got this email this morning and I love this quote from Ryan Dice, this tweet that he sent out. Entrepreneurs don't struggle because they do things that don't work. Entrepreneurs struggle because they do things that did work far too long or for far too long. Entrepreneurs don't struggle because they do things that don't work. Entrepreneurs struggle because they continue to do things that did work. What good ideas have you been doing lately? What changes are you making? Where are you taking this? Where are you taking your restaurant? One of the calls I get the most is, hey, Ryan, really excited to be on the phone with you. Been watching your videos forever, and I love that. Don't ever stop saying that. I think that's great. And by the way, thank you, all of you, for the 100,000 subscribers plaque that you see back there. Such an honor. But I love that. But here's what they say. Hey, Ryan, when we opened 10 years ago, or we opened 6 years ago, everything was great. And then, you know, we're just not doing as well right now. And I'll say, well, what changed? And they'll say nothing. Well, that's why, because everything else in the world has changed around you, and it's changing at a pace faster than we could ever keep up. Maybe your dad or your mom or your old boss or whoever got you into the restaurant industry, or whatever reasons, or whoever your mentors were, they didn't have to teach you this stuff and they didn't have to do this to succeed. They operated their restaurant for 20 or 30 years without changing a damn thing because the world wasn't changing as fast as it is now. The world is changing at a pace that is hard to keep up with. But if you're not changing at all, you're being left in the dust. So entrepreneurs don't struggle because they do things that don't work. Entrepreneurs struggle because they continue to do things that did work. Let's take a look at this guy, Michael Lastoria, another brand for you to take a look at. It's called And Pizza with an and sign, ampersand pizza. Look at their website. Don't even go any further. Just look at their website and question, oh my God, everything I thought I knew about websites was wrong. This pizza place is crushing it. This is a marketing guy. He made a lot of money during the .com. He opened up a pizza restaurant and he's killing it. And look at what he says a couple weeks ago. This pizza chain owner who pays $16 an hour says there's no labor shortage, just the shortage of businesses willing to pay a decent wage. $16 an hour, offers healthcare, paid time off, Lyft rides during the pandemic, whatever, fully staffed 12 locations, getting over 100 applicants per job opening. And then he tweeted a couple days ago, or retweeted, look here on the right. What we're doing at And Pizza shouldn't be revolutionary. Caring for your employees should be the norm, and we will continue to do so. Compassion is good for business. Now, I haven't been following the comments. I don't know. Are you guys agreeing with what I'm saying? Do you think I'm totally wrong? I'd love to hear what you're saying. I'm guessing by the fact that attendance for this webinar has continued to grow during the 40 minutes of me yelling at you in all fun, is that I'm touching some nerves out there. If you wanted to get better at golf, what would you do? I know when I want to get better at golf, I meet with my golf coach. If you wanted to get better at piano, or I know my son is going to, we want our son to learn piano. I'm not going to teach him how to play piano. I don't know how to play piano. We're going to take him to a piano school. We're going to hire him a piano coach. If you were an Olympic athlete and didn't medal last time, what would you do to prepare for these Olympics? I didn't put the video in here, but Google the video of Titmus, T-I-T-M-U-S. Don, maybe you can find that video, Titmus coach reaction. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Ariana Titmus has had a rival in Katie Ledecky. And 2 days ago, she beat Katie Ledecky for the first time ever to get a gold. It was very unexpected, but she set the goal 5 years ago at the Olympics to beat Katie Ledecky in the 200. And she hired a new coach. And for 5 years, she worked at one thing and one thing only, beating Katie Ledecky. And when she won, that coach goes berserk, absolutely bananas crazy. Because it was 5 years of passion and emotion, 5 years of focusing on one thing for the goal, all out at the same time. Imagine if you spend the next 5 years focusing on creating a restaurant that treats their staff better than any restaurant in the world. Amazon's new mission statement, when the new CEO took over 2 weeks ago, is to be the number one employer in the world. That tells you the emphasis we need to put on this. But you would hire a coach, which leads us to this big announcement that I have to make today. I'm going to take a sip of water here because this is probably the biggest thing that we've ever done here and probably the most exciting thing that I have to announce. So my mission is to positively impact, improve the daily lives, and promote growth for all who serve in the restaurant industry. That's my mission. Now, Don, put that link up there. Don't watch it now. Watch it later. Copy that link, paste it somewhere else. Watch that video later. Watch this guy absolutely going nuts because for 5 years, they focused on one thing and then they achieved it and he goes crazy. And I love it. That's living with passion. I live with passion, if you can't tell. We need to live with more passion. Anyways, my mission, to positively impact, improve the daily lives, and promote growth for all who serve in the restaurant industry. My promise is to lead and never follow, to put your needs ahead of mine, to teach proven strategies, to curate a community of like-minded entrepreneurs, to build deep relationships, to lead and never follow. I'm not the most popular person in the world. Some of the things I'm saying are going to rub some people the wrong way, but I'm a leader, not a follower. I'm not going to teach the same old crap that everyone's been teaching because it's not going to work anymore. I'm out there. I'm trying new things. I'm working with clients. We're pushing the envelope. Some stuff works, some stuff doesn't. But then when we figure it out, it works great. I'm always going to put your needs ahead of mine. I'm only going to teach proven strategies. And if we're going to try something new that I've never done before, I'll tell you that. I'll tell you I've never tried this before. Let's try it and we'll see. To curate a community of like-minded entrepreneurs. Guys, we got to change the industry. If you want a restaurant in 10 years, we got to change the industry now. Otherwise, it's going to be run by the big corporates. That's it. To build deep relationships. These are my promises. And sorry, I got ahead of it. Up until this point, as I grew my consulting business for the last 10 years, and it's been the most amazing 10 years of my life, building this community and this YouTube channel and my one-on-one clients and the programs that we've put out. But that's just the beginning. I have not even come close to my mission. Maybe I've affected 1,000 lives, 2,000 lives, 3,000 lives, 5,000, 10,000, I don't know, however many employees work at some of the restaurants that are implementing what we've been teaching, that are making it a better place for them and their staffs, and they're crushing it. But there's millions of people out there that we need to affect. I've not come close to fulfilling my mission. And so today I'm reattaching to that mission in a way like I've never done it before. The way I'm reattaching to my mission is we're going to offer something that we've never offered before. We've contemplated it, but the timing wasn't right. And the timing's right now. The industry needs help now more than ever before. And we're introducing a membership at the Restaurant Boss. Up until now, working with me one-on-one was very expensive. A lot of people couldn't afford it. A lot of people wanted to work with me one-on-one, but they couldn't afford it. Right now, I have no room in my calendar. I literally couldn't even take on a one-on-one client if I wanted to. There's a couple of clients that are on a wait list, right, or a couple of people that are on a wait list right now to work with me. I have one client dropping off my schedule. I'm going to have room for one more, but it's also very cost prohibitive for a lot of people. And so the only way that you could get access to me was either one-on-one with me or through my programs. And my programs, Scale, is a very expensive program. It's a phenomenal program. It changes people's lives, but it's been out of reach for some people. And now, for the first time ever, we're offering a membership where you can get all of our training at a low price. I'm going to announce what that is here in a minute. But for those of you out there who need to make some changes and want some help, this is going to be the opportunity for you to do that. And there's going to be an opportunity for you guys to work with me at a price that is going to be totally reasonable. So inside that membership, you're going to get access to Scale, which is our most popular training, Ghost Kitchen Bootcamp, Restaurant Manager Certification, which are our current existing training programs. Plus, we're going to be introducing some new ones, like I'm going to tell you about in a second. But also as a member benefit, you can join something called Rocket Fuel. Rocket Fuel is a group that I started about 2 months ago as a test, and some of them are here today. And what we do is we meet weekly and we discuss challenges. We discuss strategies. We discuss struggles. We discuss wins. People bring their challenges and their questions to the call. I share my opinions. Other people share their opinions. We collaborate and we're making a change. We're pouring rocket fuel on the fire. We're helping grow faster for people that maybe don't have the time or the resources or we're a little nervous about working with me one-on-one. This is an amazing opportunity to work with me. But the only way you can get into Rocket Fuel is to be a member. Don't worry. We're going to explain all of this here in a second. Plus, as a member, as a Restaurant Boss member, where you get access to all of our trainings, you're also going to get access to one-on-one sessions with me, 90-minute strategy sessions at a discounted price. If you're a member, those go from $497 to $397. If you're a Rocket Fuel member, the one-on-one sessions go from $497 to $297. Our next program that we're starting to create right now is called Hired. And Hired is exactly what the industry needs right now. Hired is going to take you from where you're at right now and the struggles that we're having with finding, training, coaching, developing, onboarding your team. We're going to give you scripts. We're going to give you processes for how to properly hire or how to properly post ads, interview, hire, offer referral bonuses. We're going to spell all of that out for you in Hired. And if you join, I'm going to talk about this in a second, but if you join our membership as one of the early adopters here, you're going to get to go through Hired live. We're going to do it live over 6 or 5 or 7 weeks. We're still working out the curriculum, but it's going to be delivered live. And then you'll get access to a live Q&A call with us before it gets recorded and thrown into the portal. But if you join now as an early adopter, you get to go through that live. And so, like I said, I wanted to do something special for those of you who decide that now's the time. All new and existing members are going to get to go through Hired live with me. The first 100 new signups for TRB membership will get a special gift when our book, Make It Happen, is released. So we've got merch coming. We've got a book coming out. I don't know what we're going to do, but for the first 100 people who join our membership, we're going to do something. We might send you a shirt. We might send you a coupon to order a shirt. It's complicated because we have so many international people here that I can't just sit here and say, we're going to send you a shirt because it could cost me $50 to ship it to Japan. I don't know. But the point is, we're going to do something. Maybe autographed copies of the book, maybe a free copy of the book. I don't know. But we're going to do something for the early adopters. Now, existing members, you don't even know that you're an existing member yet, but an existing member is anyone who's already purchased Scale. So if you're out there and you've already purchased Scale and you've made all your payments, here's an amazing bonus for you. You get TRB memberships free for life. The only thing you have to do if you want to be in Rocket Fuel is pay $97 a year for Rocket Fuel. But you're going to get the membership totally free for life. That means all the current programs we have, plus any new programs that we have coming up. So if you have already been through my Scale course, you're going to get an email in the next couple of days that's going to kind of re-explain everything for you here, give you the offer, or you can sign up today for Rocket Fuel and be in our next call next week. And if you haven't purchased Scale yet, then you can join memberships for $97 a month and then Rocket Fuel for $97 a year. So again, just really quickly, Scale, Ghost Kitchen Bootcamp, Restaurant Manager Certification, access to Rocket Fuel, which is our weekly group coaching program, access to Hired Live, a special gift when our book comes out with a shirt or a signed copy or something. And again, if you're an existing member, if you've already purchased Scale, you're already a member. If you haven't purchased Scale yet, you can join today for $97 and get access to Scale, get access to Restaurant Manager Certification, get access to all that, and have access to Rocket Fuel. So I just want to quickly share this with you. I want to answer any questions. I want to put up a link where you can learn more. So the link should be up right now on your chat page. I'm going to go through the website here really quickly, but what I really wanted to do here today is I wanted to get out there and show you guys that we need to change. You're going to need to pay more to get better staff, to get any staff. You're going to need to charge more for your product because of rising costs of goods sold. Like, we can't work the numbers. We can't manipulate the numbers. But the problem is, if we don't change fundamentally the way that we do business, if you don't get help on this mission, your restaurant may not be here in a year. Your restaurant may not be here in 2 or 3 years. Guys, I was just on a call with someone earlier today talking about how this is changing things and how their restaurant may not be here in a year or two. These delivery companies are building their own facilities. They're hiring chefs to create recipes for them. They're building warehouse facilities. They're eliminating the middleman, and they're doing the deliveries themselves. Food is becoming a commodity if we allow that to happen. We got to get ahead of that. So anyone have any questions? Anyone need help with anything? The first 100 people, like I said, the first 100 people who sign up. Brandon, thank you for sharing. Brandon says Scale has been priceless. thank you for that. And Brandon, you're in for life, man. So welcome to the family forever. There's no escaping me now. You know, Brandon and Lou and Anya here on the call, they've been in Rocket Fuel for a couple of months. They've been on those weekly calls. I just want to make sure that it's very clear what everyone gets. Like I said, any program, any of my training programs that I've ever emailed you about or that I've ever released are included.
Hey, did you notice something in today's episode?
Yep. No ads, no sponsors, just great training to help you make more money, have more freedom, and avoid the stress, struggle, and overwhelm many restaurant owners feel every day. How do I do it? How is it that you listen to all those other podcasts that have minutes and minutes worth of lame ads for underwear or other websites they're promoting? I don't judge them, but I choose to focus on you. I can only do this because you share my podcast with other folks who end up looking me up online, registering for my courses, and getting amazing results in their restaurants. It's because of you that I can self-fund this effort, and you know how hard it is to do all this. That's why I appreciate you so much. So if you like this podcast, ad-free and sponsor-free, do me a favor. Tell a friend in the restaurant business about this podcast and my website, therestaurantboss.com. It would sure help, and I would appreciate it. I'm sure our community would too. Plus, if you could leave me a review on iTunes or post a comment about this episode on my website, that would be huge as well. Until next time, remember, your success in the restaurant business is about your ability to create, manage, and master systems while developing your employees. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks a lot for listening to the Restaurant Boss Podcast with your host, the restaurant boss himself, Ryan Gronfin. For more great content, free stuff to help you make more money and enjoy more freedom, visit therestaurantboss.com and click on podcast. Be sure to register on our email list so you never miss an episode. We'll see you next time.